Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break, my full review of WWE SmackDown. WWE SmackDown was in Fresno, California at Save Mart Center on Tuesday, and this was basically the farewell for now as far as Chris Jericho is concerned. Jericho dropping the U.S. Championship back to Kevin Owens and then taking part in a beatdown angle that will write Jericho off of television for the time being. He is listed with Fozzy for about a month, at least a month of dates, and the tour starts Friday, so the title change, no surprise, unlike Sunday, when I think many of us assumed that Jericho was going to lose that match, and they just keep the title on Owens, so he kept everybody guessing until the last match, and if you're paying close attention, it was kind of predictable, but hey, there's probably plenty of people out there who were not paying close attention and didn't see either title change coming. Really good run for Chris Jericho when you kind of look back on everything that he and Kevin Owens did together, both as friends and then as foes. A very entertaining run for Jericho, and the guy's 46 years old, and he's still going out there and having some just terrific in-ring performances as well. So WWE is going to miss him for however long he is gone. That does remind me, it may be a while, because I was a guest on Jim Ross's podcast, the Ross Report podcast, that came out on Tuesday night. And one of the things Jim talked about was Jericho potentially having some projects outside WWE that he could take. So be sure to listen to that. Check that out. Ross Report at podcast1.com. JR and I discussing WWE Payback and WWE Raw. We recorded the show shortly after the after Raw went off the air, and so we had a lot to talk about. And JR also interviews the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase on that show. A big thanks to JR for having me back on the show, his Podcast One show. And a reminder, just as I like to do here, hey, Jim would appreciate it if you would take a moment and subscribe to his daily podcast. Well, his isn't daily, I guess. His is weekly, but ours is daily. Either way, go to iTunes, subscribe to both podcasts, and then take a moment and rate and review both podcasts. We would greatly appreciate that. As we're getting back to SmackDown, things opened up with Jinder Mahal at a photo op, and he was posing with the WWE Championship. Shane McMahon ended up coming up and telling him that titles are earned, and Mahal said at Backlash he would take the championship from Randy Orton himself, and Shane said they'd talk about that, but he'd have to earn it. But then Shane ended up taking the championship back from Jinder. And then they went to the arena, and Shane McMahon made his entrance. Got a big reaction, by the way. I'm reading from Jake Burnett's live review, which is available every Tuesday night at ProWrestling.net. If you want to follow along to kind of get an outline of where I'm going, go for it. But Shane ended up introducing Chris Jericho as the newest member of SmackDown Live, gave him the big build-up. The broadcast team of Tom Phillips, JBL, and Byron Saxton checked in, and Jericho really did get a strong reaction, and he played with the crowd a little bit, said it was the new show of Jericho, smack it down, man. And Shane said it was an honor to have him on SmackDown Live, and the roster was full of great matches for him, but first, he would face Kevin Owens in that rematch for the U.S. Championship. He was interrupted by AJ Styles, and Styles talked about how a lot had changed since they were on the same show together. SmackDown's the house that AJ built, and you know, they kind of went back and forth a little bit. Well, actually, it was primarily AJ doing the talking, but Jericho said he made Owens tap out at Payback, and he would have no problem doing it again. The idea being that these two were supposed to meet one another at Backlash because AJ Styles has a U.S. Championship match. And I thought this was a nice touch. They easily could have just never gone to this and just, just maybe even just mentioned that, yeah, it's going to be Jericho and Styles at Backlash and then have Owens win the championship. So it was a nice little touch that they had AJ come out for that moment with Chris Jericho. Kevin Owens eventually came out, and, of course, he made it seem like what he did at the Festival of Friendship was nothing compared to what he was going to do to Jericho. And he told Styles to get out of his ring because it had nothing to do with him. Styles ended up going up the ramp and brawling with Kevin Owens, and the referees pulled him apart with Styles getting the better of that. So what was nice about this, again, is you had, if you're somebody who's not, for a lot of the casual viewers who have no idea what Jericho's band is doing or what his schedule is, they see this and they think, yeah, wow, we're going to get Jericho and Styles at the pay-per-view, assuming Jericho wins this match. And had they not done it, again, they could have gotten by, but I thought it was just a nice little touch. And then you put the focus at the end of the angle on Owens and Styles, which is the match you're going to be getting at Backlash for that U.S. Championship after all. Coming out of a break, they did announce that AJ Styles had been banned from ringside for the main event. So I think the idea here was that they wanted to clear AJ because of the injury angle. So it's like, well, why didn't AJ come out? Well, because he was banned from ringside. Now, granted, we've seen banned from ringside can also mean, yeah, well, technically during the match I was, but here I am right after. But hey, I get it. I get what they were going for. Match number one on the show was Jinder Mahal defeating Sami Zayn in 12:19. He got some help from the Singh brothers, and they provided some distraction, and Jinder ended up hitting his Cobra Clutch Slam for the win. I got to admit, I'm starting to feel it a little bit with Jinder, not because of what he's done. I'm still waiting for that strong in-ring performance. I'm waiting for that first memorable promo. But as far as WWE just kind of doing something out of the blue, it has my attention, and I don't think there's anybody out there that can say they're not watching Jinder Mahal closer than they were before all of this. Just kind of, all right, is he ready for this? What's the character going to be like? And so I'm not endorsing this long term. I look at this as it's kind of a unique situation at Backlash, and I'm looking forward to the match as more of a curiosity, like, man, what's going to happen here? Well, can Jinder hold up his end of things? What kind of match can Randy get out of him? Does Jinder start to shine on the mic at any point during the build to this? That's why I say it's starting to click with me in that way. It doesn't mean I'm fully endorsing the idea of making Jinder Mahal one of the top heels of the SmackDown brand, because WWE is looking for someone to play to the Indian audience. They want to make a splash in India. I mean, I get it. I get why they're doing it, but I can't say that he's necessarily a worthy top three heel on the brand at this point. Can't rule it out either. But again, so I'm just kind of looking at it's working for me as far as Backlash is concerned. It's kind of a unique matchup. But coming out of Backlash, we'll see. And I mean, if he shines there, great. And if this works out, cool. So I just can't endorse the idea that, yeah, he's the guy. They picked the right guy. Not there yet by any means. But as far as like just a kind of an attraction match at Backlash, yeah, it's kind of working for me more than I thought it would. But Sammy really did his best to make Jinder look like $1 million. I mean, he was the guy that really, Braun Strowman started standing out working with Sami Zayn. Sami's very good at that. There was a botched tornado DDT spot at one point. Again, Jinder just not really doing anything in the ring on the mic that's really jumping out in a big way yet. Hopefully that will come. I mean, it's as much as people have groaned, I think there'd certainly be worse things in the world than this guy getting over. I mean, I'd like to see it happen. I wish him well with it. Then we had Becky Lynch approaching Natalya backstage, and as Jake put it, the Band of Misfits, which is Carmella, James Ellsworth, and Tamina, and they basically made a case that they had Lynch's back, and Charlotte had turned her back on them too many times before. So they're kind of trying to recruit Becky Lynch was the idea here. And she kind of indicated by the end of it that, yeah, she'll think about it. From there, we went to Dolph Ziggler talking some trash about Shinsuke Nakamura to some random people backstage. I never identified who they were. Well, Shane McMahon popped up behind him. And this all started because Dolph was watching the Backlash pay-per-view promo, the preview, the video package. And it was. It's all about Nakamura and his entrance, and he just talked about how that's just it. Nakamura has a nice entrance, but he hasn't proven anything yet. And he started complaining about Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan and how they built a pay-per-view around a guy, even though he's never had a match on SmackDown. And of course, Shane took exception to this. Then we had the second match. It was Aiden English singing, just as he did back in his NXT days, but they've added a new wrinkle to it. He was beaten by Ty Dillinger in 2 minutes. And then he basically became very emotional. He was crying in the ring was the idea. And so he's kind of like a crybaby character. I don't mind this for his slot on the card, at least trying it. It's I mean, he's Aiden English and he sings, and there's only so far that's going to go. This has kind of given him a little bit of an identity, and the singing combined with him getting overly emotional. Now, I'd give it a few weeks, and I might be like, wow, this is really stupid. But for this show, yeah, it made me pay attention again to Aiden English. Dillinger is a guy who, yeah, everybody likes to yell 10, 10, 10, and that's great. And he's very talented in the ring. But we need more than 10, 10, 10. I'm sorry, folks. I know people really like that. But there's got to be some story to this guy. If you want to play up the idea that of how hard he worked to get to WWE, get back to WWE, however you want to frame it, go for that. But there needs to be more than, hey, the fans like yelling 10 when this guy comes out. This felt, even though Dillinger won, this was more about English in a lot of ways. Backstage, they had Chris Jericho cross paths with Aiden English, and he ended up putting him on the list because he was crying. And he also put Renee Young on for good measure. And then Tom Phillips ended up setting up footage from last week's Women's Championship match. He said, oh, and I thought it was a Jake typo. No, he actually said it would feature Naomi versus Naomi. And it was just kind of a screw-up on Tom's part. These things happen, folks. Backstage, Charlotte was interviewed about last week and said the welcoming committee had just delayed the inevitable. And she called the championship her destiny before she was attacked by Tamina, Natalya, and Carmella. And then they said they'd see her out in the ring and welcome to SmackDown Live. And then they had Naomi make her entrance, and they went to a break. And then the match ended up starting as Naomi facing Carmella and Natalya. Charlotte ended up limping her way out to the ring at one point. Naomi was holding her own, and she actually had a visual pinfall late, but the referee was distracted by Natalya. So the cover was on Carmella, but yeah, it was Natalya providing a distraction. Ellsworth, though, provided yet another distraction, and that allowed Carmella to get the roll-up win with a handful of tights. And then the heels roughed up Naomi and Charlotte afterward because Tamina was out there too. And Becky Lynch came out. And she did a really nice job of teasing that she was going to be with them. She's shaking hands with some of them, hugging others. And then she, Ellsworth, who's been, kind of had this back and forth with her, he was going to shake her hand. And she kind of motioned to him, like, now let's hug. And when he went for it, she threw him into Tamina and then started throwing punches at Natalya and Carmella. She was getting the better of them, but Tamina ended up catching her with the super kick. And then Carmella hit her with one as well. So the heels ended up standing tall. I can't say I was crazy about the visual pinfall. It's not a huge deal, but these women, the beatdowns are nice. It gives them heat. These three need some credibility. And that might sound crazy because Natalya is such a good wrestler, but let's face it, Natalya loses as much as she wins, And so I just feel like if these are going to be the three heels, if they are sincere about turning Charlotte into a babyface, she gets to, it's Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina as the opponents. And then I guess, Lana, whatever they're going to do with her, if she's going to be wrestling, it's as good as Natalya and Charlotte, as good as they've looked together in the ring in the past. That's not my concern here. It's do fans look at Natalya as a credible threat to win the championship if at some point it's babyface, Charlotte defending? Is it in any way a money match, if you will? To me, not nearly as much as Charlotte the heel challenging Naomi, and eventually the money feud, if there is one on the SmackDown women's side, is heel Charlotte facing Becky Lynch. Because Becky's just such a solid, good baby face. She's so good in her role. It's an obvious matchup that I think people want to see. And that's why I just kind of feel like this is premature with Charlotte. I just feel like there's more you can do with her as a heel right now. There's just not that obvious cast of heel opponents for her to work with. Part of me is hoping that this kind of is a swerve. I mean, it doesn't. It's weird because we've heard Becky and Naomi both kind of soften their stance on her and put over her in-ring ability. And that's when it first started coming out. You could just see, like, oh man, they're going to turn Charlotte. I'd like to see it be a swerve so that somehow, you kind of get back to Charlotte the heel. But it is kind of an odd number situation. I mean, then you're left with two baby faces on the brand. I mean, we'll see what Lana is, I guess, and four heels. Now, you could turn one of the other women, but yes, I'm not sure how I necessarily feel about this. It just feels like If it's the current mix, Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky as the baby faces, with Carmella, Natalya, and Tamina as the heels, well, that feels really lopsided to me in favor of the baby faces. And it's just like, and it's not like you can't have Charlotte and Becky have matches against one another as baby faces. I just think the more traditional approach is Charlotte the heel facing tremendous babyface Becky. I think that's the direction I would like to see them go, but we'll see. From there, they went to Sin Cara facing Dolph Ziggler. Dolph ended up winning in 6:23. This was weird. It was like a showcase for Sin Cara. He just dominated the match, and then Ziggler ended up beating him in the end. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of what Dolph does. And right now, I mean, okay, if they have any plan of doing anything at all with Sin Cara, well, this is one way to kind of protect him in defeat, I guess. But I don't think they do. I guess I'd rather see Dolph looking strong against certain opponents heading into that first match with Shinsuke. But it's not like I expect Dolph to come out on top of that. It's just kind of like Shinsuke's first rung of the ladder on SmackDown is sadly what Dolph Ziggler feels like at this point. Then we ended up with a vignette. It was a Law & Order spoof called The Fashion Files. And I was open-minded to this, like, you know, Fandango kind of is doing, when you listen to him, he sounds like he's doing a Will Ferrell impersonation of some of his characters. And then Breeze and Fandango together are basically like the Zoolander characters. So it's like, let's see what they have here comedy-wise. Now, if you just looked at the back wall, I think you got a better chuckle out of some of the visual spoofs they had on the wall than you did over anything they said. I didn't think anything they said was particularly funny, but yeah, again, you just there were some items on the wall, you know, with certain people being, I don't even remember what they were, but kind of guilty of fashion faux pas or something like that. And there was a mugshot photo of Vince that was it was the when Vince was arrested on Raw. And I don't even remember the circumstances, but so I mean, it's just kind of it was intentionally done to look funny, and so they're using that as part of this. But there were a lot of other little things on the wall behind them. That said, none of this really made me laugh. It didn't make me look forward to Fandango challenging for the tag titles. It certainly didn't make me take them as threats to the tag team championship. It just was kind of silly comedy that really, they just never really did anything to even make me chuckle, the two of them, as far as what they were saying was concerned. I still feel like these guys would be better off as just straight standard heels, you know, just Midnight Express style throwback heels. But I don't think, you know, it just feels like they're going for comedy babyface. And I don't know who that's going to play with the Usos as another part of this. The Usos are just such a serious team. I don't, you know, it might work perfectly. I'm not sure. But I think it's just kind of it's going to be an interesting mix there at Backlash with those two teams facing off. Main event time, it was Kevin Owens defeating Chris Jericho to win the U.S. Championship in 14:24. He ended up, there was basically Jericho played up a head injury again. So WWE has kind of gotten over the head injury deal. For a while there, it was like, I don't think, want to acknowledge when talent suffered legitimate concussions. But we saw something the other night that surprised me with Bayley, her character, kind of her loss being blamed on a head injury. And now Jericho here ended up kind of doing the same. He ended up taking a DDT on the ramp, and then Owens ended up hitting him with a super kick in the ring, covered him for a near fall, picked up Jericho, rolled him up for another near fall, and then he hit a pop-up powerbomb and pinned Jericho. And Jericho was playing this like he was very woozy, he's out of it, and it led to another attack by Kevin Owens. Eventually, they ended up with the EMTs and I think some referees checking on Jericho, and they were helping him to the back, and that's when Owens attacked again. This time he grabbed a chair, he wrapped it around Jericho's head, and then he shoved the chair and Jericho into the ring post. And Jericho legitimately ended up busting his lip, so hopefully that's not going to be an issue with him singing for Fozzy this weekend. It looked very minor. But he was treated by officials as the show went off the air. So an injury angle designed to obviously write off Jericho for the time being. And Kevin Owens gets his U.S. Championship back, gets some heat, and they also had that storyline excuse explaining why AJ Styles wasn't there. And it's, you know, going into this, it wasn't like, ooh, how are they going to write off AJ Styles? But once they introduced him in that opening segment and made him, you know, a part of this and had him get into it physically with Owens, well, yeah, you kind of had to. Because at the end of this, like, why wouldn't AJ come back out? Why wouldn't he make the save? So I guess the idea is that he was not just, well, I mean, I guess we'll see. Is he advertised for Talking Smack? I could be off on that. But no, if he is, you know, I'm guessing they'll cover it somehow. If he's not, I guess the idea is just that, well, he was banned from ringside, so they sent him on his way, that sort of a thing, to explain why he never did come out. Not that he would be out there to try to help Chris Jericho, but just to kind of rough up Kevin Owens and kind of pick up where things left off, if nothing else. But another good edition of SmackDown. I like the show. Like I say, the Jinder Mahal thing, it's, you know, I still have very low expectations for Jinder. I'm waiting to be impressed, but kind of into this whole Jinder Mania moment at Backlash. It may bomb. It may turn out to be a good thing. You know, the jury is very much still out on that, but I'm just kind of embracing it. It's not going to change, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how he does. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then you had the good Owens and Jericho match. You know, the injury angle with Chris Jericho to write him off the show for a while. Whatever's going on in the women's division with Charlotte, you know, I mean, hey, for a little bit there, I'm like, wow, is Naomi the new Sting? Where is she just going to get turned on by Charlotte here? And then in order to be Sting, it would have to happen dozens of times. At least it felt that way over the years when Ric Flair would, well, you know, would team up with Sting somehow, and then the Horseman would turn on him. So Naomi's not exactly in that show, but it did cross my mind. Like, well, could, when Charlotte comes out and Naomi goes for that big tag, is that when Charlotte turns on her? And no, they didn't. But at this point, really no major additions to the Backlash show. They still have next week, and then the following week will be the go-home show. So two more editions of SmackDown to go. So I assume we're going to learn plenty about the Backlash lineup here over those next 2 weeks. But that is going to do it. Just a reminder, check out the Ross Report podcast. I am on the show along with Ted DiBiase. And hey, if you're interested in .NET membership, listen to that show. You might find yourself a coupon code that'll give you a hell of a deal. I'll leave you with that. Check it out at Podcast One. Until next time, everybody, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again very soon. Take care.